Alright, here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't go to Walmart like this.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And ICChannelAnalytics.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1045 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
Yeah, the M1. Joe.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't say 1046 out of habit. And always being one up above Dave.
And Dave. David, hello. Dave.
Hello.
Yeah. You know, I talked about that script I ran last week. I was just discussing it with a colleague of mine. We were looking at it. And now he said that he tends to not do loops in Bash like that, like doing a while. So it's while reading in the file line by line, running. He likes to just take the value of running cat on that file, passing it to a variable, and running the loop that way in the for loop. For, not in a variable. So like for I,
yeah,
in the command cat. So use the a couple ways you do it. Cat, the file name. And I tried his suggestion, and it didn't make a difference. Like, it ran the same thing.
Reduces the number of lines that you write. That's the only value of using a for loop over a while loop. It's not like it makes it any more efficient. It does the same thing.
Right, and I didn't. So I started looking into this kind of deeper. And I think the problem wasn't with the loop or the command I was running. The problem, I think, was with the list of files. And what I had done, like, I don't think it was getting the end of line correctly. Or I must have removed some kind of character for the end of line. And because what I had, I don't have any other explanation for it. Because it, I believe I went and recreated the file, and then I was able to get it working the way I wanted to. But it was really weird. I don't know what was coming of the output. Go ahead.
Can I guess? What? You removed all white space, and that removed your return carriages.
And maybe that's what ended up happening. Yeah, I'm guessing that's probably what happened. Which was weird. I didn't think it would do that. Because I was just using VI, and I just... What did I do? I created this by... I had a file that had all the site codes in it. Or I forget how I did this. I had to tease out the site codes. I found a character I used. I catted the file to cut. Set the delimiter to pull out that field, sorted it, uniqued it, and wrote it straight to a file. And that's how I got it. So I'm trying to, like, I guess it didn't carry over the new lines or something properly, or I don't know what. It just was really weird because I've done that before. I know I have, and I haven't had that kind of problem. But... maybe it's OS 10. I don't know.
Seems likely.
Yeah. But got it working on another thing. But by the time I got it working, I had already done what I needed to do with it. So there was that.
I find that you never go wrong blaming OS X.
Oh, man. So here is another. This is a really weird thing. And this caught us by surprise. The guy I work with, one of the other guys I work with, he was going to Japan a couple weeks ago. And one of the things he did right before he was going to leave to go on vacation to Japan was he was going to upgrade all the functions to use Node 20. And some of these were going from 14 to 20. Some were going from 16 to 20. And surprisingly enough, it went swimmingly well, right? Or so he thought. The functions ran. Everything seemed to be fine. He passed all tests. He tested them. They seemed to be running fine. So when he did this, and I'd mentioned something in regards to this before, that when he pushed it all out, it appeared to be working fine. But then the next day we were getting reports of certain issues. And in this case, it was that when it was processing video files, importing them in, it was not able to set the duration of the video file or tease that information out and set it into the data, into the information, into our system. And it uses FF Probe, which is part of FFmpeg. And that was also about the same time we noticed that moving from Node 20 and the latest Google Cloud storage library was causing another set of problems. And we had to roll back both of those on one of the applications. And in this application, we also rolled back both of them. But what ultimately came out of this was we had to roll it back. So it was back on Node 16, and he put in a ticket to address this problem. And he went on vacation. One of the other guys picked this up, and they were having a problem running it locally for some reason. So I helped them out because this is a Google Cloud function, how it operates. So there's a couple of different ways that you can run these things. And he was just trying to run it locally after having compiled it with Node 20. And he wasn't successful. Something was going wonky in his environment. So he hit me up. And I ran it locally. Now, I'm trying to remember if I ran it locally on OS X or I ran it locally in the container. And if I ran it in the container, I'm wondering if I pulled down the wrong container, that it was still on 16 and not on 20. But regardless, I did the local test on Node 20, and it was successful. So I got him past what he needed to do. He just wanted to see if it would work, and it was successful. So I went back to what I was doing. He went on vacation. The guy who was in Japan came back today. He asked me why the ticket was closed, but nothing had been done. And I said, well, I don't know because I wasn't working on it. I know that they got it working, that they didn't have to do anything. It just started working. And he was like, but it's still running on Node 16. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I thought they were going to commit their stuff and do all the other things. So we started looking into it again today. And while it works fine on OS X, when you get it into the container that it's going to run, because we pulled down the containers from Google Cloud Artifact Registry, this is a function, And when you deploy the function, it builds a container. The container you can actually access through artifact registry and under the containers for the functions. So we pulled down that version 20 that he had originally had built, well, deployed, and ran it and got the error message. It's segfaulted on running FFprobe. Now, they were using a library called getVideoDuration. The getVideoDuration had a dependency on FFmpeg FFprobe, which is another library which pulls down a version of FFmpeg based upon your architecture to inside that library in FFmprobe, or FFprobe, not FFmprobe, FFprobe, which, from what I gather after looking further into this, is statically linked to a specific glibc library, and that's been causing problems because the library hasn't been updated in a while, and the underlying operating systems that some of these containers that they're trying to run it on obviously has. And there have been, across a couple of different repositories, and I have to call them repositories because if you start looking into different libraries, they all link back and depend upon this library, which in and of itself depends on the FFmpegprobe library. So they all, you start to see the same messages or issues popping up in each of these repos, saying that it appears that the statically linked binary that gets pulled down is on a different version of glibc than what a lot of the containers are running today. If you're doing it in gcloud or whatever container you're doing, if you're moving from like node 14 to node 16 and 16 up to 18 or 20, you're seeing problems with this. And sure enough, that's what was happening. It was that statically linked binary was failing against, I guess, against glibc. It was hard to determine if that was the actual problem, but there was a parameter that you could pass to the command, that to the library when you're using it, the getVideoDuration call, where you can have it use the natively installed package for that OS. And of course, the container that we were using that Google uses and builds has FFmpeg already installed in it, and therefore it had FFprobe on there, which when we switched to using that, caused it to work properly as expected. So that's an interesting an issue. And it's bitten us, I think, a few times over the years when you work with something that statically compiles a binary in the library for Java, for your application, your Node application. It might work on one platform or architecture, but not another. And that's a problem. So you got to be really careful with that stuff. Right, Joel? They got him.
Sure.
Got to be really careful with... You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, sure. Dave? It's like, you know, you go out and you're using your suppositories and you go and get your friend's suppository, not realizing that he likes the extra ghost pepper.
I'd rather use a repository than a suppository.
You would think it's about the suppository, but it's actually the butthole.
Oh, is that it? Okay. What's your statically linked?
So that.
Oh my God! What is that?
Oh, I'm running. I'm running with.
Wow. That was interesting. So basically, when you say fire in a hole, that's a ghost pepper suppository.
Fire in Dave's hole.
Actually, no, that's Pepper X.
Oh. Anyway. Nice. You know what's weird? We watch we watch a couple of different YouTube channels, and the sponsorships kind of roll through all those channels where it's like one will get HelloFresh, then they'll all get HelloFresh, and then another one will get Factor, and then then they all get Factor, and then it's like the Air Up, and then they all get Air Up. The one that seems to be burning through now most popularly is Opera GX, the Opera GX browser.
I'm like, that's not a new thing.
No, it's not new, but I guess their latest versions of the browser, Opera GX, has a bunch of interesting features, and I went to go check it out because I like Opera. I use Vivaldi, I use Firefox, I use Chrome. I use a bunch of different browsers. Two browsers I don't use are Edge and Safari, so I don't really use those browsers. But I like to rotate browsers on occasion. So I went to try Opera under Manjaro over here, and if you go to Opera's website and you go to download for Linux, they're only giving you a dev package. So that was presented to me. So of course I went over to AUR and saw that Opera was available in the AUR, and it was a very easy install. The only problem that I had with it is that if you want to get the codecs for it to play video playback, and I don't know if it's required for YouTube, because I didn't actually go over and try this, but I was like, I'll get the video FFmpeg codecs from this package. So I went to build the package for the Opera FFmpeg codecs. And it pulls down the Chromium binary or source or whatever it is, and then extracts the codecs from there. So from what I'm reading in the README, of course it didn't work for me. It failed on something. I'm not quite clear on what it failed on trying to do, but it apparently has to unpack all this, and it's like ends up being like 9 gigabytes that it unpacks and has to retrieve these codecs out of and then build the package that way. It was kind of a pain in the ass, and it didn't work, but it took forever to run. So I didn't get too much traction on Opera because that I ran into that problem. Although, now that I think about it, I should see whether YouTube actually... videos actually work. Why won't... Just give me videos.
The only browser I use other than Firefox is Lynx and then, W3M? That's the only other two I use.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Lynx.
Okay, so YouTube works fine,
now,
so
there,
I can
there's
use
a
it.
Couple...
Links you can use from with FrameBuffer. You don't have to be logged into a Windows environment. A windowing environment, I should say.
Right.
How do you watch your porn on Links, Dave?
MPV.
Right, man.
Would be how I would do it. Yeah.
ASCII art porn. There's a couple browsers that if you can install stuff on your Mac, which I believe you can, but if you do, though, Dan, you might want to check out the ARC browser, ARC, or Sigma OS. That's another one.
What are they based
Unfortunately,
on?
Unfortunately, both of them on the Mac... WebKit for ARC. I believe the other one's also WebKit. But they just brought out the Windows version of Arc. Nothing on Linux yet.
Okay.
But they're an interesting take on the web browser. I played around with them. Neither one of them are I mean, for me, I need it to be available everywhere. And right now, the only one that's really available everywhere for me is Chrome. But I just like that they're trying to do different things on these two, Arc and the Sigma OS browsers. But like I said, Mac only on both of them. I think the reason that is I think that they were both originally written in the new Swift language.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mac OS only, I think. They don't even have browsers for iPad OS or iOS yet for those. So, but it's an interesting take, and I would love it if there would be an open source browser that kind of took some of the same takes that they took. Because I do think it's time that the browsers start to innovate again, and it's been a while. And I don't mean you to have to make massive changes that you need to like change how HTML works. I just think make our lives easier, make managing tabs easier. They're starting to do some of that with Chrome. Supposedly they're adding AI features to Chrome that'll help arrange your tabs for you and things of that nature. And just hopefully the AI version of Google search doesn't give you malware, because I did see an article on that this week. And I said, that's how Skynet gets started.
That's the problem. This new generation hasn't watched Terminator enough.
Well, this is true. Because I saw another story, too, that I thought was just kind of crazy. But then it's coming from Microsoft, so it's not really a surprise that they're going to replace the Windows key with a Copilot key. Copilot, if you're not familiar, is their AI button. And I'm like, you know,
if you want Windows to work, you have to go all in on AI.
That's right.
AI.
Yeah, and that's the thing that really annoys me is just how many tech companies, at least Microsoft has one, you know, but tech companies and even like companies like LG, who made my washer and dryer. If you look on the front panel, there's that button that's, or not a button, but there's an AI logo on it. I'm like, and there's no real AI in either of them. So it's like, you know, it's like, it's a marketing term, and it just pisses me off. And technically, the AI trend that's now, like ChatGPT and stuff like that, they're just large language models. They're not true AI either. At least in my opinion. Now, some people, like we had on one of our all hands in the last 6 months, a person who was supposedly an AI expert, and she was younger than all of us. She's like in her 20s or 30s. I'm like, yeah, okay.
She wasn't an expert?
Well, she had a lot of book smarts. I'll leave it at that. At least that's how I felt from the presentation I saw. I don't even remember her name.
Now what, Joel?
Joel, just as long as you know, their plan is to, you know, AI you out of a job.
That's how Joel does all his work.
That's freaking hilarious.
Right, Joel? That's how you do all your work. Through AI.
Yeah, that's a load of bullshit, too, so. Now, the only jobs that I see is really being truly done away with AI are, like, a lot of the menial jobs. Like, Well, Sam's Club has a system they're working on putting in their stores where the people who check your receipts as you're walking out don't have to check your receipts. You walk through a thing and you're going to have AI on it. When I take my car over to my dealership to have some work done on it, I pull through this thing and that checks my tire treads, my brakes, and everything. That's putting a mechanic out of work. The one who does the inspection. Granted, I don't know how well the damn thing works.
Well, that mechanic is still going to have to do the work for now.
True. True.
So it's saving him some hassle.
Some time saving, maybe. If you want to call that AI. GM says it is.
I just wonder if we're still debating about the difference between artificial intelligence and artificial sentience.
Right? Yeah, the General Motors system that you drive through now at some of their dealerships is called UVI, which is an AI-powered diagnostic system.
Is that where you got your car done?
And that's... GM?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chevrolet, GM.
Right. And did they do a good job for you?
Yep. Well, all I needed the last time I was there was an oil change, so yeah.
They needed to run oil change through AI?
No. It's the system that you drive, like at the entrance they have this thing. I'll share the Verge article.
Dun, dun, dun.
And there it is. But yeah, no, you just drive through it, and this is like doing that 30-point, you know, inspection, so that, you know, I guess it tells them if they need to take a closer look at something, like, hey, the inspection found a nail in your tire, you know, so let's plug it.
Go ahead.
Is it one of those El Paso style systems where no matter how new your windshield wipers are, you need new windshield wipers?
Well, I do need new windshield wipers because mine are probably over 6 months old right now.
No, every time in El Paso that we went in for an inspection, it didn't matter if we had purchased windshield wipers the day before. We needed new windshield wipers or we wouldn't pass the state inspection.
Well, that's the state there, dude.
Well, no, that was the freaking mechanics trying to make a little extra money.
Well, that too. Yeah, I had one car I had when we were Pennsylvania inspection was awful. I remember my dad, he had a 1984 Celebrity station wagon, and it was like 1985. hadn't even had it a full year, went through Pennsylvania inspection, and they said, oh, you need to have a brake job done before it'll pass inspection. My dad's like, well, you know what? I'll go buy the fucking pads and turn the rotors, and then you do it. Then I'll come back, and you can improve it. And they're like, okay. I just remember he was pissed because he had that thing pulled up in the driveway. He was cussing and swearing at it. He's like, he couldn't believe that the car wasn't even a year old and it needed new brakes already.
Boo.
Granted, that was 84. You know, so cars really weren't made as well as they are today back in 1984.
But you could work on them. I mean,
but that's true too, right?
Yeah, it's like the mid 80s through, you know, like half the 90s through the mid 90s was really terrible years for cars, like horrible.
That was true. Yes. They call it the malaise period, I think they called it. But yeah, and nowadays, like you got so many damn shields on the bottom of your fucking car that you can't do an oil change on your own easily.
But you can't even get a windshield replaced anymore. I mean, used to, if you got a cracked windshield, you could call somebody, you know, in South Carolina. They'd come out of the parking lot while you were at work and change it for free. But now there's so many cameras on the thing. You know, you got to take it to the dealership, and it's a several hundred dollar affair to get a windshield replaced. Used to be free.
Free? Well, you mean, insurance would pay for it, right?
Yeah. Well,
$100 or something is what.
No,
still will.
Premiums wouldn't even go up. No. They I don't think it's covered now. My wife's got a 2020 Ascent. It's got, you know, just gobs of cameras all over it. But, you know, all these the adaptive cruise control cameras in the windshield and stuff. And well, they're not in the windshield. They're on the passenger side of it, but they're up against it. But you can't. You just can't have SafeLife come out and replace your windshield in a parking lot. You got to take the dealership.
That's right. I never really thought of that too, because like mine has this my rearview mirror can actually—it's actually a screen and a rearview mirror, like where you would normally flick the thingy to you know, like somebody shooting their brights in your mirror, yeah. Right? When you flip it, instead of it just tilting it so that the brights don't kill your eyes, it turns on the back camera, and you can see the rear view through the camera. And it's very handy. It's very, very handy. It also, you know, probably the biggest time where it's really handy is if you have a whole bunch of shit in the back of your car and you can't see out the back window. All right, but because of that, it's got wiring going into that mirror, which actually has been a thing for GM cars for quite a while, because you had the OnStar button and stuff like that in there. And it's not like you can replace, like if you had to replace your mirror, if you could replace it with a mirror without the OnStar buttons, because that's the only one they make, you know, so that has to be wired back up and all that shit. So plus that also I think the GPS for the system is located in the box where that mirror goes into.
Yeah.
All right, so which is stuck right on the back of the fucking windshield. Yeah, you know, I think there's a camera in there too, but that's not one you can actually see in the system. It's for lane assist, I think, or the maybe it might be for the adaptive cruise as well. But which adaptive cruise, dude, is a fucking cool thing, man.
Oh, it's I love it. My wife won't use it.
Oh yeah,
I use it.
My son hated it. You know, he's younger, and that doesn't make sense, but he hated it. His Trailblazer had it, and when we traded it up for the Trax, The tracks doesn't have it, and he's much happier. It's just a traditional cruise on his tracks. But my Traverse has it, and I absolutely love it. I'll lock in at 70, somebody pulls in front of me, and it just slows down. Well,
it's good in the city, too. I mean, if you're in a traffic area, and the speed limit is 45, and everybody's doing 30, just put it on 45, but when the traffic ends out, you'll be doing 45. But when it doesn't, it'll stop for you and do all that stuff.
Yep. It'll do that too. But the one thing I don't trust it on was I was driving back from my doctor's appointment on Monday, and I was driving down 315, going about speed limit, right? 65. Some asshole who was pulled off on the left hand side of the road decided, "Oh, I'm gonna pull onto the freeway, but I'm only gonna go 45." And I'm like, holy shit! I gradually braked it, but I had to brake a lot harder than I wanted to, and that even though I had the cruise engaged, I disengaged on purpose because I'm like, yeah, I ain't fucking around with that shit. Yeah. So, but it's like, you asshole! It's like. But and that's actually an important thing too, because I don't. We had the lab work. I had my lab work done a week ago Monday for this appointment on Monday with my nephrologist. And I go in there and he says, "Well, the protein in your urine is normal. I don't need to see you for a year, and if everything still holds and it's still normal next year, I don't have to see you anymore." I'm like, that works for me.
Yep, good news.
It's because, you know, kidneys ain't no fucking joke, man. I mean, ask him about that.
No kidding, huh?
Poor guy. Yeah. Yeah, well, that, and, you know, it's stuff like that, and just my memories of when I was in high school, my grandpa, after we found out he was a closet alcoholic and he quit cold turkey because, he fell down the stairs and put himself in a coma because his head hit the steel pole that was holding up the house. About 3 months, I think, if I remember right.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like 87 when it happened. And then when he was in rehab for that, they did a... He found out he had a blockage in one of his veins in his leg, so they sliced him
from his
crotch
he?
All the way down to his ankle. And
you said 87?
Oh, he was retired already.
Was 87?
No,
1987. Oh, 1987. I was like, damn, you made it 87? Being 1987.
He was in his 70s. Nah, he did not. he was
70s still.
Probably
long.
Not. He probably wasn't as bad. He probably wasn't as bad as your
That's
dad.
My
was,
dad.
Right.
My dad grandpa. Made it into his 70s.
So yeah, right. Yeah, but anywho, it was all through that whole situation I found out he had untreated diabetes. And how they found out? His toes started to come off.
His toes just fell off?
Yeah, gangrene on his toes.
Dude, yeah. if I woke up and one of my toes fell off, I would just be like, holy, yeah. I don't even know what the hell I would do. I would
black
go,
first,
I would
okay?
be at, like,
it's because of shit like that in the 80s.
Look,
if I
took a shower and my toes were black and that stuff didn't rub off,
yeah,
I'd probably
right?
go and see a doctor.
I would be at the emergency room with the water
I'm
still
the
dripping,
thing,
probably
right?
naked.
I totally agree with you. But yeah, I mean, so he had, at one point he had one leg amputated, and I think after the stroke that put him in the hospital for good, they cut off the other one. And it's like, yeah, I really don't want to do that shit. But it's because that started to be really, 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 really common back in the 80s that while your doctor now, if you're diabetic, even if you're just starting, they will make you take your shoes off and inspect your feet every time you're in. Just so they can catch it early and reverse it.
Catch if what? They can. The gangrene? Or the...
Yes, the gangrene, yeah. Yeah, I'd rather pop off a toe and amputate a toe than the whole fucking foot.
You know what? I want to keep all my body parts, okay?
But I'm 100% with you. I already fucked my teeth up, so you know, at some point in my life, Dave, I'm probably going to end up getting dentures. So
David, go to emergency room and be like, dude, my toe fell off. And be like, sir, where's your toe? He's like, hold on, let me pull it out of my... my toe keeper.
Pulls out this black thing.
That sort of happened to my dad. My dad was in 10th grade. And he got called to the office, and he got up, you know, got to the school office, and they said, your dad's coming to pick you up. And he said, okay. So he went out front, and his dad pulls up, and he walks out to the car, and his dad tells him, you drive. So my dad goes around to the driver's seat, gets in, and my grandfather's got, you know, his towel wrapped around his hand. He cut off 3 fingers, and he had them in a paper bag in the front seat.
Oh, my God. How did he do that?
In his shop, I guess.
Yeah. Well, did they get him back? Did they put him back on?
No, no.
I guess that must have been tried, before they could do that. Or...
Well, he didn't have any ice, I guess, and it was. I don't know the length of time. From the time he cut them off, picked them up out of the sawdust, got them in a paper bag, went to the school, and had my dad drive him to the hospital. They didn't get him back.
Now, if you want to see something like car related, I know you all probably heard of Donut Media on YouTube, but they just recently, within the last year, started a new channel called Real Mechanic Stuff. And like one of the ones they showed was a video where they showed this guy. I guess there was a belt that needed to be put on the car. It was like probably like one of the accessory belts or something like that. They fucking started the car and threw it on while the car was running. And I'm like, that's a real dumb idea.
He didn't cut his fingers off, did he?
That's a real good way to cut your fucking fingers off. No, nope, it went on. It went on, and I'm like, yeah,
was the guy a mechanic?
A stupid idea.
The guy who did that, was he a mechanic?
I guess. I
bet
I
you
don't
he's
know.
Done that like hundreds of times.
I guess.
Yeah, that's the way it does. It's like, I don't need to worry about this. Yeah. That's an easy way to get it on. And then I'm like, it just takes that one time.
Let's just show the masses how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, they had mechanics, actual mechanics on the real mechanic stuff that said, yeah, I'd never do that. Yeah, it's like, well, there was one guy.
They were critiquing
a
Clemson
broke all
mechanic,
4 fingers
right?
on my hand. Right. But yeah, I mean, that, and there's that one, and then there's also, I'll have to find the other one, but it ends up being a source for this channel. But there's another channel, basically, a video of clips strung together. It says, and they all start with customer states, blah, blah, blah. You know, like customer states that the car's drifting all over the place. So they put it up on the lift, and like the sway bars, the shocks, half the damn suspension's not even connected to the frame, or it's all fucking rusted out. Oh, it's hilarious, man. It's like, or like, The car's engine stopped, so they pulled the oil pan off, and they hadn't done an oil change in like 87,000 miles. And I'm like, yeah, that's even dumber. But there are people that actually do that shit. It's like, take care of your fucking stuff, man. Oh,
you know what?
And if you don't want to do it, pay someone to do it.
Speaking of vehicles, Man, I really... I shouldn't talk about this.
You really should trade your fit in?
I don't know if and when this is ever going to be talked about, because it's Paige's thing. But she, and I don't, she's down in South Carolina now with my mother-in-law. I don't know when she would, and this was a couple weeks ago she brought up. So I'm just going to go out and say it. Maybe she can elaborate more on a future show. And this is something I never thought about in regards to vehicles, but they, the people that she works with, they have bought a truck for transporting stuff.
Right.
Obviously, that just
the vape, the yeah, vape place.
Yeah. So they bought a truck, and it was an older one, and they've had to have work done on it. And what ended up happening was that over the years, they've had to replace various components on the truck. And I think this time around, they had to replace the transmission. And the problem that they ran into is that they can't get the transmission replaced because it doesn't work with the other components that were put into the vehicle. That over the years, the different components are now electronically not compatible with one another because they have different, like, embedded versions on them. And so they're kind of stuck that they can't get it repaired because the repair would require, like, it just can't be done because of version compatibility with the different software components. And it's like really wild. I never thought about that with the vehicles. Like, that's something that would never have crossed my mind, that at some point you can end up...
Well, here I thought it could be that they already discontinued the parts.
No,
I mean,
it's that...
They're doing that, too. They're like, yeah.
And I think it's a combination of both of those things.
That's, like, crazy.
It's an older vehicle, and it's hard to get the parts for, but the parts that you can, that they were able to get, are not... the software is not compatible with
new.
Some of the other parts in there. So
right.
It's like, and then they can't get the other parts because they're just not available. And so it's like that thing. It's like, you, I guess what ended up happening is you end up with, they start pulling parts from other ones, like older ones, and then you end up in a situation where, well, this part's not longer compatible with this other part because they're completely different software versions, and it won't work with the main controller of
ECM modules. Yeah.
And I think that's what ends up being the problem, is that main controller part now needs to get replaced or something like that. And I can't remember what she was saying, but it's because of all this other incompatibility. All the other stuff in there is incompatible with this, so now they can't get the work done.
Yeah, cars are like people. They get a certain age, they just can't operate in today's society.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can, if it wasn't for the software components on there, you know, if it was just a car without all that extra crap in there.
It's not the car that changed, it's the world.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
Right.
I never would have thought that a vehicle could go obsolete because of that. It's still a perfectly functioning vehicle. It just needs that one part that they can't get because it's not compatible software-wise.
Right.
With everything else.
Yeah, it's like van lifer. I watch called the channel Van City Van Life. And the van he started the channel with when he started living in it blew its engine. All right. So, and he it took him 6 months to get a replacement replace some of that is because of parts. He couldn't get parts and stuff like that. Some of that is because he decided, oh, I'm putting a new engine in this. I might as well put this engine instead of the other engine. Okay. Well, he lives in Canada. So he was like going all around Canada trying to get all the parts there. Like, and he called the dealership in Canada and says, I'd like to do this and take this engine, which does come from other vans in the same model range, basically an upgrade of the engine, right? And the Canadian folks are saying, nope, nope, can't do it, can't do it, can't do it, can't get the parts, they can't tell them how. So he calls a Ford dealership in America, and guess what? They're like, yeah, we do that stuff all the time. So he had the engine shipped from America to Canada, and he and another guy put it in his truck. Or his van, it's like, and then of course he had to get a tune put on it, and but he did get it all fixed up though, and it's actually running again with a brand new transmission, brand new engine. You know, it's like, you know, that's why I kind of really would like to get an older car, even if it is like from the 80s or something like that, because at least then I know I can probably still get parts for it and it would still work.
This whole conversation starting back, we're talking about browsers, and I was thinking about how much better the web was in 1991, and we got talking about cars and how much better the cars were back then. I mean, even though they had the malaise period you were talking about, but you could work on them. And we got to talk about AI. Just extrapolate this out. You know, in the future, you're going to have AI making decisions about euthanizing people and machines.
You're not far off, man. I mean, you're not far off. So it's like, you know, AI is a cool tool, but that's all it is now. It's a tool. And anybody who just blindly believes it is just asking for trouble, man. I'm telling you.
That's what people are good at.
I know. It's like, it's fun. You know, I'm trying to figure out, and they bring up an interesting point in this meeting. And it was held by the actual, because there's a company that basically handles the enforcement of the HOA. So the HOA board doesn't have to go to your house and say, hey, Joel, you didn't pay your fees this month. Where's your money? You know? So this other company handles that for them, all right? And they said, well, you don't have to have us. You can choose to get rid of us, but then you have to manage all that stuff. And it's like, to me, I'm like, I don't think anybody really wants to do that. Because it's a bunch of hassle, you know. And so I'm still trying to figure out what exactly the board will do. But, you know, hey.
Wait, what's this have to do with AI?
Living in. And it, well. Who knows? Maybe AI will replace that company at some point. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, you know, AI is supposed to be replacing everything, and it's like, you know, I don't buy it. Literally, I won't buy it either, too, because it's like when you're playing a mobile game, every other fucking ad's for it free. Not safe for work AI.
No, you will buy it whether you want to or not. It'll be on your next phone, and you know, every phone after. I mean,
well, it's on my current phone.
Yeah, yeah.
The Pixel 6 Pro has some AI stuff built into it. Like, for example, it uses the AI to put at the top of my launcher screen the stuff I use the most, and it's using all these different inputs to decide what it is. So, like, it knows that, hey, Joel's gone to the gym 3 times this week. So, on the 4th time I go, one of the first icons in that row is the icon I use to open the app to get the QR code so I can check into the gym.
That would be
speaking
of that, Opera's got its built-in just, area, the Opera AI. Yeah.
It does.
I'm ready to get started.
Yeah.
What's your email, Joel?
Yeah.
I'll sign in as you.
Yeah.
What? Tangentially related, barely, it's sort of the future, but not really recent past. Are any of y'all using Popwire yet?
No, I don't know.
I did when I had Ubuntu, but not anymore.
I do have it installed. How do you know if you're using it? I'm assuming it's being used, but
you can do a PACTL command. I forget the.
It replaces Pulse Audio, right?
Yeah, yeah. And only reason I bring it up is this week on my Arch system, and I'm using Pulse Audio. The Pulse Audio volume control program is a tab for recording.
Tab to control, right?
Yeah, you can. There's a tab for recording streams. So if you've got an app that's playing audio, you can monitor that app and, you know, and send that to another app or something like Kava or some app that, you know, that matter.
Are you talking about PAVU control?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this week, that recording tab is empty. There's no streams. There's no applications recording audio. And that's not been the case. And I've got ALSA installed as well. And I've Googled and dug around for a couple of days and can't figure out why it's just stopped. And I told her the idea of switching to Pulse Audio, but I don't know that that's going to fix it. But I don't know what the problem is yet. But I thought about it. I think I've got Popwire installed on one of these Debian systems that I did a new install on this year.
Likely.
And so I know it works, but migrating, you know, or cutting off Pulse Audio, moving to Popwire is just something I'm sure it'll take a couple of hours, but at most, but I've just not done it yet.
Yeah, that's kind of why I went to Manjaro, so I can avoid that shit.
But I mean, with Manjaro and Arch, I mean, new install, you can choose Popwire.
You can choose it.
How to get
right.
it, yeah. And I'm sure it works just fine because you can still use PA volume control with Popwire.
Right.
So I just don't know if that would solve my problem or not, but something stopped working.
Because I look in here, Pipewire and Pulse Audio are both running.
Well, there's a Pulse Audio module for Popwire. You shouldn't have both sound servers running.
Well,
Pulse Audio should be uninstalled, disabled, all of that, but you can still use Pulse Audio programs with Popwire.
Mate doesn't have any of that crap.
Well, this has Pipewire and Pipewire Media Session running, and it also has Pulse Audio running in a non-daemonized mode.
Okay.
So I'm using Manjaro updated as of yesterday with
what desktop though? No,
XFCE. No, Plasma. Sorry, Plasma.
Wait a minute, that's why. Yeah.
But if you at the terminal type in PACTL space info, and you can grep server name if you want to, but about halfway down the input, you'll see what your server is. Mine says Pulse Audio, and I'm running.
Yeah, mine still says Pulse Audio too.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't even have any Pipewire programs installed at all. But
what's that command again?
PACTL space info.
Is that Pulse Audio control?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I
guess they're preparing to move over to Pipewire for a bit now.
Pulse Audio is what I have.
Yeah, like that same command would tell you if you were running Pipewire too, though.
Yep.
I'm ready for Pipewire. Bring it.
Well, it's 3 years old at least, so I mean, I'm probably ready for it too. I know Wayland's probably 3 years old by now too, but I'm not ready for it yet.
Oh man, Wayland's older than 3 years old. Hasn't that been
it
like a decade now?
Well, Popwire is probably older than 3 years old, too, but I'm just...
It still ain't fucking ready, in my opinion, for Wayland. I mean,
I'm not ready for Wayland, but I could change sound servers, but I'm not going to change window environments.
Now, yet. If they ever up your upgrade Mumble so it doesn't, so it's happy with Wayland, it really isn't. I've tried it.
I use so many old programs, I'm not even...
Right.
Try
the problem with Mumble isn't so much that it doesn't work. It will work. The only thing it doesn't work is the push, but the push to talk. So if you try to program a button for push to talk, that don't fucking work.
Now see, that's
on,
one thing
on Wayland.
I got this Jabra Bluetooth headset that I can't use with Mumble.
Right.
Because this system's not running Popwire, from what I understand, because it's not push to talk, but it knows when you're talking. I forget what that's called. But Pulse Audio doesn't do that, but Popwire does.
Yeah.
So I need to look at migrating there. Did anybody watch The Three Body Problem?
I did not get to watch it. What?
The Three Body Problem. I've been talking about it for months, Joel.
I did not watch the Netflix one yet.
Yeah.
No.
Is it good?
It's really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. If I'm disappointed in anything, and this, I guess this was a fear that I had, is they've taken a lot of the science out of it. I mean, it's still there, but they skipped some things that I thought would have been actually good to explain the audience, you know, what's going on in places that they just sort of skipped over. But it was really good, though.
So, did you watch all of it?
Yeah, yeah. This is 8 episodes. I watched 4 last week, and I watched 4 this weekend. It was good.
By the way,
does it cover all the first book?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Okay.
And did you finish watching the Chinese TV show version, Dan?
No, not yet. That's 30 episodes.
Yeah, I skipped ahead at the descriptions. It only covers the first book as well. So I think there's 22 episodes. Well, that's all I have.
Interesting.
Damn, you're telling me and Netflix did in eight episodes what the Chinese did in 30?
Yeah,
I guess they must have cut a whole lot out of there.
Well, yeah, they've some of the criticisms are silly. somebody said they've whitewashed it, meaning there's not as many. It takes place in London, you know, versus a lot of it takes place in China. I thought a lot of the criticisms were just silly, but you know they combined. They turn one character into like 5, So I mean, not really. I mean, they combine some stuff, but it's my main gripe is that the science part of it they sort of glossed over, skipped over, and just sort of explained it a really explained it without explaining it.
Isn't that usually what they do?
Yeah. I've not. Have y'all seen The Expanse?
I've recently read
the books.
Okay, because I've heard that compared to this as far as hard science fiction goes, but I've not seen The Expanse yet.
I'm gonna have to watch that, but I have too much shit to watch as it is. That's my main problem right now.
It may be the way they're telling the story. They're telling a story sort of like it's been compared to the TV show Lost. But the way they're telling it is you have more questions than you do answers, and so it rewards the viewer as you move along. So maybe they'll get to the science later, or more of it. But I'm enjoying it though. I'm not disappointed.
I hate to kind of bring it up, but I'm only bringing it up just because a friend of ours is impacted by it. Now, no one died, but the bridge that Francis Scott Key
Oh, that thing? Holy
in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Dor used to drive over it every day to work.
Yeah, did you watch the video for that?
How freaky is that, man? Yes. Oh my god.
That was crazy.
That the ship lost power like two or three times right before it hit it. It
lost power before it left the dock once.
Right.
I read that today. That you know, then it gained back power, and between there and the bridge, it lost it two more times. But
yep, it is sailing under the Singapore flag. And there's some idiots that are trying to say that it was a hack. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the good news is they were able to alert authorities, yeah, and they were able to stop traffic on the bridge. It's unfortunate that, what was it?
Yeah.
I think it's six construction workers that were on there. I guess they're presumed dead.
Yeah, they're presumed dead. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they haven't found them by now, I'm sure that they are probably, unfortunately, dead. But man, that thing just dropped. Yeah,
not to mention the fact. Well, and Baltimore is a huge port too.
Oh yeah.
So there's another hit to the supply chain, man.
It's going to take like 3 years or so to fix that bridge or build a new one. Something like that.
Yep. Yep. A friend of mine, he bought I'm trying to remember what it was, a Pajero.
What's that?
Mitsubishi Pajero. It's a car.
Okay.
Was that going over the bridge when it
was originally what? No. He already has it, but he bought this from Japan. It's a key car, or at least that's how it started. It's a very small little SUV. All right, he bought it from Japan, and it came to him via Baltimore. It came on a ship very similar to this ship, and it entered the United States from Baltimore. So then I think he had the drive to go pick it up in Baltimore.
Based on what I read, this bridge, most of the bay, most of the docking areas are south of that bridge. There's some north of it that are affected. And I've read that, you know, sugar will be affected, and I forget the other two things. But sugar's one of them. But you saw what happened to the – this is unrelated, but it's related to sugar – The price of cocoa beans, it's gone up like 350% or something. I think a metric ton is $10,000 now.
So, because of the bridge?
No, it's unrelated. Oh. It's a bit of supply chain, I think, but I assume it could be some virus in the cocoa beans. I don't know.
So I should go out and get my sugar
and
now
your
before
chocolate.
The price goes.
Right? Stock up, huh?
Stock up on that brownie mix.
Yeah, I
your half off Easter candy is not going to be half off.
Twice the price, baby. Oh yeah, Easter's this weekend. Damn,
it is. Yep, I'm going to try something I haven't done before. I'm going to try making a carrot cake from scratch for Easter.
Well, you enjoy that carrot cake.
Put the cream cheese icing on it. Yeah,
I do not like carrot cake.
You don't?
I'm not a fan of it either.
I mean, I'll eat it, but like, it's not my go-to cake. So you knock yourself out, Joel.
Right.
You could do it, man. You could do it.
I'm sure I can. I've never done it before. So actually, I just realized this. I'll probably have to go buy some new pans too, because I don't think I have 2 9-inch pans.
Well, you should make that carrot cake in the smoker. On
that
pellet smoker
of
yours.
That would be gross, man. Oh, that would be gross. Well, there is one thing I haven't been meaning to try in the smoker, and that actually would come out well, and that's smoking a cheesecake. So take a cheesecake, like a, you know, the dessert, you know, smoking that. It actually works out really well from what I've read. I'm not tried it yet, but I have smoked Chex Mix. That is real tasty too. Now,
when you use the verb smoke, are you talking about adding? I know you're using a pellet grill and that's smoking.
Right.
Are you actually using wood chips and adding a smoke flavor as well?
Well,
to the cheesecake, would you be doing that?
Yeah.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it actually works. So you'd be surprised what works in the pellet grill. And that's the other thing too is the smoke. It's just like any meat. So, and probably the grills, they have the same technology drives both the grills and the smokers that Pit Boss makes. All right. But the grills, like I have, they don't smoke near as well as the vertical smokers that they make. Okay? So, you usually want to use something called a smoke tube. It's the same concept as using, like, a box soaked with wood chips in it, you know, for in your gas grill, right? But this, you would just fill it with pellets, which the pellets themselves are made from wood, and it can vary what kind of wood you use or what's in the blend you buy. I buy a competition blend, which is a mix of different things. It's got hickory and a few other pieces, different kinds of wood in the pellets. But you can actually buy, I've never tried them, but you can actually buy charcoal pellets for the pellet grills too. And some people like to mix the wood pellets with the charcoal pellets.
My pellet must not be sophisticated enough. If I'm gonna grill a steak, I just throw it on the grill. I might put some Lowry steak seasoning on it, but I'm not gonna smoke it. I don't need
now, one thing I want to try, and I tried it once and set all the damn smoke detectors off, but doing a steak in my cast iron, and I think part of the problem is, and that's something
you're talking
that
about a skillet. You're not talking about a Dutch oven, right? You're talking about just pan searing a steak. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, it works. I think because I do using cast iron, right?
Yeah,
cast iron. I would say you want to cook it on a lower heat than you're used to with normal pans. So. If I'm frying up eggs or something in my cast iron, I go medium to medium low, and it cooks it just fine. It doesn't stick near as bad. And a good seasoned cast iron should stick at all. But if it does stick, try turning your heat down. Even if it's because it can still stick even if it's well seasoned. But I love my cast iron. I cook everything on it.
My next door neighbor is the superintendent of education for my county.
Yeah.
And I've known him my whole life. He grew up not far from me, but he's also a chicken farmer. I mean, he's got 20 chickens, so I guess he's a chicken farmer. But he gives me fresh eggs, and I cook my eggs in a 16-ounce Pyrex measuring cup in the microwave, and they're awesome.
Okay.
Done in a minute.
Are you scrambling them?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what my kids do.
Yeah. And that's good enough for me. Easy cleanup.
You know what I'm making tomorrow, Dave?
Scrambled eggs.
A southern favorite for you, sir.
Bologna egg and cheese sandwich.
No. Make a shrimp and grits, baby.
Oh, that's good. That's good. As long as you don't put any
shrimp
cream
and grits.
On it.
Put any what in it?
Cream.
Why would you do that?
Some people do that.
They do.
I don't.
Put cream on their grits?
On their shrimp and grits, yeah. I don't do that. I just want shrimp and grits.
You just want some grits? And you throw a shrimp on top, right?
I do fried fish and grits. It's just as good.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. And I like grits plain. I don't even put butter in them. I'll salt them, but I like plain grits.
Now, do you prefer grits or instant grits?
I will eat either one.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I don't have a sophisticated palate.
Yeah.
You are eating microwave scrambled eggs.
Exactly.
So. And you are and fried bologna sandwiches.
Yep.
Do you dip your beef burrito in grits?
No, I've never done that.
Well, you should try that. Maybe you like it.
Maybe.
No. That's okay. No.
You know, I have to say, Dave, I never had grits until a couple years ago. Because, living up north, the only place you would ever see grits would be, on a hotel breakfast bar kind of thing. And I just, it always, I don't know. But I tried them a couple years ago, and I was like, damn, these are good. Why haven't I eaten these before?
Yeah, they're real good. I could have them every morning if I wanted them. My 95-year-old mother-in-law, who lives a half a mile from me, if I wanted to, I could go to her house for breakfast every morning. There's going to be homemade biscuits and grits and bacon.
Every morning? That's what she's morning.
Country gravy?
She makes homemade biscuits three times a day.
Jesus.
Holy crap. That's a lot how many of biscuits does she make?
She probably all makes 36 biscuits a day.
What does she do all with all those biscuits? Wow.
Feeds them to her grandkids. She's got grandkids, that are my wife is her grandkids are all grown. I mean, my oldest daughter's 26 and she's a grandkid, but yeah, she cooks meals for anybody that wants them.
Man, there's nothing that's worse a nice than a shitty southern biscuit, lady. Though.
Well, she poor mouths her food. She's gonna tell you that the meal's ruined, and it never is. Something about it's going to be I scorched the beans or those biscuits are cracked or something, but they're always perfect. And what I know she's been doing it her whole life, but what amazes me is how everything, I mean, there'll be 15 things on the table and they're all the same perfect hot temperature. How she does that, I don't know.
Magic.
Practice.
Years of practice.
There's certain things that I do. Yeah, there's certain things I do that I've been doing for years and that I can like time certain things so everything's ready at the same time. You know, like if I'm cooking burgers or something, I've got everything timed just right so that when the burgers are done, then if I got fries going on or something like that, they're done too. All at the same time.
I can do that on a small scale.
That's hard to do.
I can do it on a small scale, yeah.
Yeah.
I make my daughter's breakfast every morning, so I can have their English muffin toasted by the time the egg comes out, and then...
Right.
Of the microwave.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I can make two breakfasts and make my wife coffee and get all that done at the same time because of practice, but I couldn't do seven-course meal.
Four-course meal.
Yeah. Yeah, no day am I better at that than on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, I'd literally have it down to the science almost. It's not perfect, obviously.
You'll get there.
But I'm getting there. Yeah, you know. But
you gotta make it to 95.
Like I do things that my mom wouldn't do. On Thanksgiving, I'll bake my pies the day before. Mom does it all the same day. I can never do that.
Joel's secret heat lamp.
What did you say?
I said you use a heat lamp.
Not in a pie, not in a pumpkin pie. That'd be gross.
Oh, that's how you keep everything at the right temperature. Who cares if it's dried out?
Oh, well, yeah.
You got to go get that heat lamp from the chicken coop.
Now, you mentioned the pit boss. One thing I thought about doing this weekend is firing up that and putting a ham on that. Not that you really need to smoke your ham again, because hams are smoked. But I got a spiral cut in the fridge down there, a small one, for Easter Sunday. I'm going to make some scalloped potatoes. probably some sort of vegetable.
Were you doing a ham, you said?
Of course, if I listen to my wife, she's like, just get a... Yeah. If I listen to my wife, she's like, just get a can of green beans. I'm like, if I'm doing green beans on a holiday, it ain't going to be canned green beans. I'll buy some fresh ones. They taste better anyway. Canned green beans can get so damn mushy.
Well, that's true with just about anything that's canned.
Yeah. Or frozen. Like, my wife loves Brussels sprouts. I can go get fresh Brussels sprouts and roast them in the oven, and she'll turn her nose up at those. That's the only kind I'll eat, is the fresh Brussels sprouts. But she'll get these frozen ones that you do the steaming bag thing, right? And then she'll just drench the fuckers in butter. It's like, I'm sure she might enjoy it, but they smell like shit to me. I can't. Those now, frozen Brussels sprouts are gross.
I absolutely do not like frozen green beans. I don't like them. I never use them. The only time I don't use fresh green beans is in three bean salad. I use canned green beans in that, and I love it.
Y'all say canned green beans, you talk about metal cans, right?
Down here.
Yeah, my mother-in-law, she, you know, we planted a garden for her last year.
Oh yeah.
And she cans her beans.
Yeah,
but they're in glass jars.
Those are a little different. Yeah.
If I had access to that, Dave, I would use that. But
yeah, she's got a room full of them.
She probably has a nice sized garden, doesn't she?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
It's almost. I bet you they're good green beans too, aren't they?
Oh yeah.
Oh, green beans are delicious.
But because of my daughters, who are both allergic to pork, she can't cook them in fatback anymore. She cooks them in oil.
Damn.
Yeah. They're still
good. That's the only way, man. Cooking in fatback. Oh, my gosh.
Well, do it in turkey grease.
That'll work. I guess it'll work, yeah. Or you get probably something you'd never have in your house, Dave, is something called Bacon Up. Have you ever seen that?
Called what?
Bacon Up.
Nah.
It's bacon grease in a jar.
Oh, yeah. Nah, if I need that, I could go to my mother-in-law's and get it.
I was going to say. It probably tastes better, too.
Yeah, she keeps a jar in her refrigerator.
Yep. Cool. Well, happy Easter to those who celebrate. And if you're going to a family thing, eat too much, because I know you're going to. I scheduled a treat day Sunday. Because I'm having a damn piece of fresh cheese carrot cake, man.
Because you're going to make it. What are you going to do with the rest of that carrot cake after you have your piece?
His piece is going to be the whole cake.
No, it's not going to be the whole cake. No, I'll have six people over.
My piece would be the whole cake.
Yeah, well, could
be. Tell him you didn't make this carrot cake. I did. You get a little Debbie cream pie. Shut your mouth.
You can smell my carrot cake. That's about it.
Was either that, or I was either going to do the sundae or cheesecake, but I do cheesecake all the freaking time. Different flavors, not the same all the time. Cool. Happy Easter, everyone.
I told him you ain't getting no cake from me on Easter. You got candy. Be happy with that.
Go find an Easter egg.
Yeah.
That's right.
Go find the eggs the rabbits left behind.
Got cream egg in the fridge waiting for me. The Cadbury ones. See
ya. Is that on a cheat day too?
Play us out, man.
Alright. Here we go.
Every day's a cheat day if your name is Joel.
Nah.
I am short.
Oh my god.
God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making it for me. I'm in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yes, sir.
Don't burn the carrot cake. Nobody wants a burnt carrot cake.
Well, he's the only one eating it, so.
That's awesome. I'm glad you made it.
I will not burn the carrot cake. Yeah, I've never done it before, so I figured, why not? Already found the recipe.
Oy, oy, oy.
Now, see, I got... One thing I gotta find yet before Easter's completely over is I saw an article today that said the Dr. Pepper peeps are still out.
Disgusting.
Disgustingly good.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Are you eat peeps, they're all right.
That sounds horrible. Granted, the coffee I don't eat peeps, but
the coffee ones were better.
Coffee.
Yep, coffee Dr. Made... Pepper or
no,
coffee peeps.
Coffee peeps. Coffee peeps. They were good.
Joel's wife
I think
told him they
just,
were coffee
it might have been
peeps.
More than
he
coffee
had just
flavor.
Gotten a coffee enema. And put two and two together, right, Joel?
He had the coffee peeps.
Correctly.
Yeah, it was. Hold on a minute. They were. Oh, they were donut shop coffee flavored peeps. They were decent.
You know, what makes them donut shop?
They were coffee flavored.
They're, well. If you have a Keurig, that is one of the K-Cups that you can get for is Donut Shop Coffee. So it's
well, my, if you go buy Dunkin' opinion, Donuts, you can get, you know.
Donut Shop Coffee, right. yeah, it's cheap coffee is what it is. That's what Donut Shop Coffee is. Like Folgers or whatever they have.
That's my wife's favorite.
Folgers?
What, Folgers?
No,
oh,
no,
Folgers
the,
is
no,
awful.
No, no, the Great Value Donut Shop K-Cups.
Oh, K-Cups? Oh.
Yeah, that literally, that's when I asked her for Mother's Day or birthday or Christmas what she wants, she said, just get me a box of K-Cups. It's obvious she's been married for 33 years, but she's a woman of simple taste.
Oh, God, no. I just found out there was a limited edition Peeps flavored coffee creamer. I don't think so. That's too gross for me.
Sugar and marshmallow?
Yeah. This week, but for 6 weeks after, I'm doing a small group at church. And it starts at 7 o'clock. So I may either not be in or be late. Depends on how long it runs.
A hiking group?
Nah, nothing as exciting as that. I just got back home from our Homeowners Association turnover meeting.
They turned it over to you?
Well, see what, and this is something I did not know, but the, anytime a new, like a farmland or anything, any land is subdivided, you know, into houses. Oh, in Ohio, you have to have an HOA. So anything new, you're going to have an HOA. And which I knew about when we signed it up. But up until now, D.R. Horton, who was the developer slash builder of this area, was over the board, you know, the three board members for... Well, technically, we're in kind of like two, because we're all a part of the main Trailview Run, I mean. And then our section is the patio section. The really only difference is we have our own board for the patio section, but we control, like, who mows our lawn, because that's part of the agreement for our section.
So who's mowing your
today,
lawn?
We got the
Dave.
I don't know, some company.
Dave's in the south. He don't mow his lawn. He gets his goats out there to chew on it.
No, I got to mow it this Friday.
He doesn't have a lawn. It's just dirt.
Dirt. He got a ride on, right?
What's that?
Dirt and auto parts.
Dave's got himself a ride on.
Oh yeah. Last year I was having to mow my dad's grass because he's got stage 4 cancer, but he's doing great. But between his grass and my grass, I was mowing, let's see, almost 8 acres. He's got a whole
nope.
lot more.
I'm too old for that shit.
Me too.
With a push mower?
No.
Yeah, but if it's on a ride-on, though.
Yeah, I got a riding lawnmower, and I've got about an acre and a half I mow. My dad's got, you know, 4 or 5 acres.
Shoot, out here, you'd have to put a shade on that riding mower, a mister.
Yeah, it's
have
hot.
Extra water bottle. Have a cooler for your beer.
Joe would want one with air conditioning.
Goddamn right. Make that sound like a bad thing.
He's not. You know what's better? Not having to do it yourself.
True.
I like mowing the lawn.
Have more kids.
That's the only thing I liked. I just didn't like everything else. My sinuses have been
wait.
Reeking havoc.
So you like that your kid mowed the lawn, but you didn't like everything else?
Well, because he wouldn't do the other stuff, like, you know, like weed and shit like that. So I didn't know a single person I voted for the board. And I just voted for the three youngest guys. And I didn't run. There's no way I would have run. I don't want that fucking responsibility.
They'll be raiding Joel's house because they decided to grow weed in his backyard.
Nah.
Joel will be like... I don't know what happened. And they'll be like, you voted for these guys, and that's what they said they were going to do. Weren't you paying attention?
We got like, our pollen count's been way up, and my sinuses have been screwed up.
Oh, mine too.
My sinuses are always screwed up.
I thought I renewed this goddamn domain. All right, let's get the show. What? Go ahead.
If it goes too long, I'm going to go get me a prescription, man. Yeah, we can go. We don't have to talk about my pain.
What's today's date?
27th.
I'm off tomorrow and Friday.
What's the show number?
Show number is 1045.
It was being paged.
Did I do this right? All right. Here we go. This is, what is it, Dave? 1045? 1045 all day long. Why did this do that? And then, okay. Recordings are all around, right?